Hey, Zach Show. This is That's All Folks here. I'm here for Science Thursday.
Hey, how are you?
Pretty good. We haven't recorded an episode in like a since Sunday, since Paul Bro Sunday. It's Thursday now.
Yeah, I know. This whole thing with you working at an office is really fucking up the podcast.
I've been the For those of viewers at home, I've been working in an office this week. Usually I'm working at home or not really working at home.
Yeah, you turned in the jammies for the week, put on the freaking suit.
The thing is, though, and it's the weirdest thing, and I'm embarrassed about this a little bit, is that the only reason I'm in the office, nobody else is here. I'm here alone. Like,
Yeah.
I may as
So
well be.
you can be what you can wear. You might as well get there and just get naked and then work.
Yeah, I really could. There's nobody here. I'm just in a room, like a
There's
one room studio with like computers, a computer, there's a cameras, but nobody's here. And I was like, why? I kept asking my friend Regina, who like she's the one who like she gave me this work. Like I'm working
She's
for
contracting you.
contracting me out for Genius, and I was like, Reg, why am I here? What am I doing here? And she's like,
What'd she say?
well, and I had a suspicion about why, and I was right. It's because like I'm so unreliable when it comes to like schedules
Yeah.
that she had to convince her coworkers that they should hire me again, but like I promise he's gonna be on time, he's gonna hit the schedules. And they were like, well, what if he like works in the office? Then like we know he's in the office, he'll respond to us when we message him, like he'll like it'll be like some way to like make sure he's like on task.
I mean, don't you respond to them though?
Not you. I mean, when I'm at home, like sometimes I don't, but like
Yeah.
it's true, when I am at a desk, I'll respond. So I've been having to come to this like empty studio on the other side of Los Angeles every day. I've been waking up at 5:30 a.m. and getting here by 7 a.m. and just sitting in
Holy
this room
shit.
alone. And yeah, and
I
editing.
forgot that you had to get there so damn early. I thought you had to get there at 8.
No. And so yeah, but I'm such a big baby that nobody can trust me to get anything done on time, that they have to control me this hard.
I mean, like, maybe you could convince him after this, be like, look, I know what
No, I think
happened.
they're right. I
I mean,
support
they
what they
probably
did.
are.
I support it. Like I tell everybody, and I know it's not a good thing to say, but it's like, well, I mean, it does work. Just lie to me about the deadlines. Tell me what,
Tell
just
me
tell
like
me it's
3 days
due.
before.
Yeah, literally, I tell them that. Like, give me, like, do it a week before. And then after I told somebody to do that, a few people did do it to me on a few different occasions. And I was like, wait a second, did you do what I told you to? This is it? And they're like, yep. And I was like, see, it worked out.
They're like, oh, nice. Like, all
Because
right, well,
like
this will be good because you do.
I would do it like it would be due like one day, and I would like stay up all night the day before it was due, like finishing it, cramming it into the la and like being like, here you go, turning it in, like scraping into the finish line, turning it in, and it'd be like, cool, it's due a week from now.
Anyways, so could I come work at the Genius Studio?
I don't know if you officially can, but
Yeah.
off the record, yeah.
I mean, I will say, because this week I went to Starbucks like twice, and I'm like, wow, I'm actually like getting a lot more done.
Yeah, you can't. Like, Regina's probably not going to listen to this. Nobody from Genius is probably going to listen to this. So, yeah,
Yeah.
go ahead, come in here. It's like nice. There's a couch, there's a lot of chairs. It's
Any
like
like coffee makers or anything?
nothing. There's no
Yeah.
food. There's no, no. That's the thing I was kind of bummed about, too. It's nothing like a, it's really just a room where they shoot things and you can edit in here, too. It's
Just
like,
like just a studio.
yeah. But yeah, you can
Well,
come here. Well, you want to dig it, start? I actually contacted Kyle, Marine Kyology, for this, and he hasn't shown up, so
yeah, can't
it's
say I'm
unfortunate.
surprised. I was surprised we got him for the first
I
one.
know, I was kind of like, it was a nice surprise. So maybe
Anyways,
we'll get him next week.
get into the DNA. I'm just trying to make a science analogy. I don't know.
Let's get
Let's
in
start
to.
unraveling some of that DNA news science.
I don't actually. I was looking for some. Oh,
So,
actually, yeah. Do you want to go? Okay, first the DNA. I'll do some DNA news.
hold on a second. Welcome to Science
Science Thursday.
Thursday. Pew!
Bill, 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 Nora.
Laurel, Laurel, Laurel. I'm just gonna keep that going out throughout the Science Thursdays.
Welcome
Okay.
to Science Thursday. I'm Ryo Plato. So I collected a lot of articles this week, so we're not going to get to all of them, but
all right. There's, well, I mean, that's good that we can get to the good ones, I guess.
There's a lot of good ones. I love looking, like, this is actually my, I love looking at science news. There's so many, like, goofy reports that, like, and, you know, like, we talked about that thing about the transplanting memories last week, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And that was, like, some fresh news when we were talking about it. We were the first ones to really even report on that. Damn. New York Times had their article, like, a few days after us. Like, we were on it.
Good.
So
it's good to hear.
If you want to hear about DNA, since you mentioned DNA, I'll lead with my first story. I got kind of a lot of, like, conspiracy theory type science this week.
Conspiracy?
Like, things that tie into conspiracy theories, like big ones. This one the most so. Scientists to lead.
Hold on. Did we get any feedback from did anyone respond to our, did we get any comments about the last show, or
no?
Kind of just going at it. Okay. All right. I
got some feedback on the Paul Bro Sunday. One feedback. Somebody liked it.
Really?
Yeah. It was just Evan, though. Shout out to Evan. Daryl. Shout out to Daryl Sweat.
Okay. Hold on. Speaking of science, I'm going to fill up my water bottle right now because I have to replenish my body, and that's scientific. So okay. pardon the noise here.
I actually saw something. I didn't save this article, but something about if you drink too much water, it's bad for you too. And there's, like, some effect on your brain. I didn't. What? It was, like, kind of uninteresting, so I didn't really read the rest of it. But that was the claim.
I don't really want to get into that, but I'm just going to guess that, like, you're just drinking so much water that your body doesn't have a chance to, like, really use it. So it's just maybe just going right through you.
It's
not really having a chance to, like, sit in. I don't know.
That sounds right. Go with
completely uneducated guess, but yeah, that I think that is right. So,
okay, you ready for the first article? This is a good one.
Well, let's get into it.
Do you believe in the Loch Ness Monster?
I can't say I do.
Well, scientists lead DNA hunt for a Loch Ness Monster. So what they're going to do, they're sort of using it just to, like, get the money to actually do this thing that they want to do anyway. But they're doing this thing where they're scraping the bottom of the loch, like this lake.
Is that a lake? Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's a lake. Yeah.
It's a lake, but they call it a loch.
It's called a loch. I think it's like the lake is called Loch. The Loch Ness, right? Yeah. It's just called the Loch Ness. Yeah. And okay. I mean, it's come out, the original photo, it came out originally that, like, this photo, the famous photo of the Loch Ness that was in the newspaper in 1930, and people are like, holy shit, it's real. Like, came out in 1994. Someone said that was a hoax. That was my, like, uncle or something, and he just put, like, a fake snake on a submarine and told me to take a picture. Like,
yeah.
So, like, people still believe it. They said there was, like, 1,000 people in the town now that have seen it. But anyway, so the scientist is going there. He's going to dredge the bottom of the lake, like, all, like, the mud and shit, and go through all that and just, like,
look. Are they going to drain the lake?
No. They're just going to scrape the bottom of the lake, I believe. Yeah. And they're just going to look for, like, scales, feathers, fur, feces, everything. And just,
anything,
like,
right.
And just analyze all of it and then try to match it up to existing databases. And then I guess, like, if they find something that they don't know what it is, they'll be like, oh, shit, it's Nessie. But they're not going to find Nessie. Like, in this article that I read, it talks about all the different times that scientists have gone in with different types of devices to, like, scan the lake and search for this monster. They've never found it.
That's kind of crazy that they even devoted that much time.
It's because so many people care about it.
So do you think that those are people, like, are donating to, like, the actual cause?
Yeah, so I think, like, it's sort of like, he's like, you know, we're doing it, like, luckily, like, this, the popularity of the Loch Ness Monster is, like, sort of giving us the money, and, like that is sort of, like, the, that's, like, getting us in the door, but really they're just interested in learning about the ecology of the Loch Ness. And, I mean, if they find some Nessie DNA, that's going to be a bonus, but they don't really think they're going to. They're just excited about the other DNA. And
that's kind of a cool, like, idea is to kind of like poop the scoop people into like giving money to something that maybe, you know what I mean? Like take something like that actually matters, like whatever. I mean, I don't want to always fucking go back to cannabis, but you know, make something fucking really crazy. And then people be like, oh my God, like, yeah, let's see if this really, and then there's like actually like a positive, like study or in like, I don't know.
Yeah. I can't think of any other things like this.
Yeah.
Off the top of my head, but yeah. Yeah, but just like under the cover of like something like entertaining and like poppy, they're slipping science in there. But yeah, they said I read this. This is funny to me. There was a flurry of excitement among Nessie hunters in 2016 when sonar imaging revealed something at the bottom of the lock that resembled the shape commonly attributed to the beast. It transpired, however, that Shine and his team had discovered an abandoned prop from the 1970 film, The Private Life of Sherlock Holmes. The 30-foot model was discovered 180 meters beneath the surface by a robot, which was surveying the lock. So yeah, it was just a big prop, big fake Nessie. And that was the closest they came. People were psyched, like, oh shit.
That's so funny. You know, like the guys that worked on that were like, oh shit, like whoops. Like, I didn't know I was going to find that one.
Yeah, so that's pretty much it. I don't know, nothing much else, but they're doing it.
Well, we like to start with a nice light piece of science to draw in our listeners.
Yeah, I can't figure out when they're going to start this. Yeah, it doesn't really matter. They're doing it soon, whatever. Here's some news that I'm mad as hell about if you saw my Twitter account in the last 24 hours.
I mean, I've noticed that you've been tweeting a lot more probably because you're sitting at your computer in an office.
Yeah. But did you see all my retweets about the whale?
No.
Holy shit. What's going on? So mad. So you know Free Willy, right?
Not personally, but I think I met one of his relatives at one time.
You know how I'm a whale head, right? Like, all my life, I've always loved killer whales. I wanted to be a whale trainer.
Yeah. Well, your Indian god name was Spouting Whale.
Yeah. So, there's...
Which is kind of, like, a little bit racist, that thing.
Spouting Whale?
No, just, like, Indian...
Indian guides, yeah.
I guess it should have been Native American guides.
This story actually has Native Americans in it. So the story, the headline is Free Lolita, the killer whale. She's the only freeborn orca still in captivity in the U.S., and her birth pod and even her mother are still living in the wild. So this isn't a blog article.
Birth pod?
Yeah, like her family.
Oh.
So, the only whales that are now in tanks in SeaWorld and stuff were born in captivity. But back in the 70s, I guess, there was this big, huge... roundup of whales where they rounded up, I think, like they said, like 70 whales, and Lolita was one of them. And she's now in a tank. She's been there since the 70s. She's in a tank in Miami and at Miami Seaquarium, and they want to put her back in the wild. People are like, her family's still alive.
So she was captured from the wild initially?
Yeah, up in Washington State in the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah.
And so she still sings the songs of her family. Like, I guess each pod has, like, a certain... family song. I'm going to go with, let's say it's... So she's up at night singing the songs of her family.
What if it's something more like, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
You talking about?
Yeah, Michael Jackson.
Wait, hold on. Let me cue it up.
That was bad. I just worked out, so my voice is a little bit.
Yeah, so I got steamed as fuck. Because, there's a Native American tribe in the Pacific Northwest that in that area where the whale was captured, and the Lummi tribe, and they carved a big whale, and they're traveling around the country, ending up in Miami, and they're like starting this big movement that's like, we need to set this whale free. It would just be a really nice thing, you know, like.
They said it's like the last one.
Yeah, and they said usually, like, yeah, sure, maybe the argument from the aquarium is like, she's been here for so long, she's not going to survive in the wild. She doesn't know how to hunt anymore. She's going to get disease. It's just not a good idea. But this,
what's your two cents on that?
Well, my two cents is like they might be right, but this
they might be,
but
I think that. Yeah, go ahead.
The person who wrote this blog post, she's a marine biologist, I believe. I looked her up, and she's like, she seems credible. And she said, in my like scientific opinion, this will work. Like, it's very likely, since her mother's still alive, since killer whales are matriarchal, run by the mother's still alive, and a lot of her family's still alive, and she was captured when she was like a teenager, I want to say. So she did learn how to hunt. She had those skills. They think, like, as far as this expert's concerned, this is a good case for being re-released, and like, it would be so beautiful. The Native American tribe has like bought a part of the land, a part of the ocean, and they're gonna for a while they want to like start her off in like this small zone that's like netted off, so it's not like way out in the ocean, so in this safe spot, and then maybe eventually let her out into the ocean. So like they're like taking all these precautions to like make it work, but the Seaquarium's like, no, and they won't let a vet go in and look at her to assess whether this is a good idea, like a third party vet. The Seaquarium won't.
Yeah, because they know they're going to be like agree with the
marine
biologist. They're like, yeah, that's fucked up.
Yeah,
is it like what is it? SeaWorld? I don't know.
It's Seaquarium. Which is like a corporation. They have like a bunch of parks all over the United States.
I feel like I heard of recently that even like all of like Mexico's like made it illegal for them to have whales anymore. Like,
yeah, it's like all completely over the world. I mean, it's like we really fucked up. I wanted to be a whale trainer so bad when I was little, and as I got older, I realized that I couldn't do that and also love whales. Like,
yeah, but.
I just wanted to be near them, but I realized like there's no like good way to do that.
Yeah,
they need a lot of space, but it's sad. They just say like she still sings the songs of her family every day. Just imagine that.
Yeah, I mean, do they have like tracking on the rest of the pod, so they know they're alive?
Yeah, that's the thing. They know so much about this.
So
they say
fucking stupid,
right? Like,
let her go with the fucking pod. The pod will help her hunt.
Yeah, I hope so. I mean, you can picture a bad scenario where they let her go and the whole pod just like tears her apart. That'll be not so good. But
yeah,
most people, the scientist agrees that it's like if any whale is like ripe for doing this, it's this one.
Mm-hmm.
Her name's Lolita. She has like an Indian name too, like a Native American name, like Talukame or something.
That actually sounds familiar, but maybe because there, a lot of the whales that I've just heard about have like that kind of like tribal name or whatever. I don't know. Mm-hmm. That sounds. I just feel like I've heard that.
Yeah, but it's pretty cool. If you guys look up the it's not like a totem pole, but I think somebody called it a totem pole. It's like a horizontal pole that's just the shape of a whale. It's a pretty sweet carving.
I think that is still a totem pole.
They're taking that around the country. And yeah, it would be nice, you know? Like, what a story.
Yeah, it would warm the hearts of people, I think.
They're going to be in, if you're listening to this.
Is there some kind of petition?
There's no petition. You just kind of have to like. They're not that organized, too. I had a hard time finding out where they were going to be at what times. And I missed the time they were in LA, and it was like even a private event. I couldn't have gone anyway. But if I would have seen it and I could have gone, I would have been there flipping, like crying and saying, get her out of there.
We got to do like a fucking Hey Arnold move going with the freaking skateboard.
Did they let a whale go in that?
It was a turtle.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, we just need to pull a classic Free Willy. I don't know why we had to go to Hey Arnold. Yeah.
Did they let...
Yeah, they let him go.
Yeah, I haven't seen it in a while. I wasn't sure if, like, they just let him go. Like, I thought it was more of just, like, they wanted to keep him, and they're like, nah, like, we gotta let him go. I didn't know it was, like, they stole him and then let mm-hmm. him go.
Yeah.
Let her,
yeah.
Her? Him?
I think it was him.
Her.
His name is Willie. I feel like they would have. But, yeah, like, it's... So this Saturday, they're ending it. They're gonna be in Miami, and they're gonna, like, sort of have, like, a protest. If you're in Miami, go there. Like, nice. The least we could do is just be like, let's send a third party veterinarian in there and assess whether they think it would be okay.
Yeah, that seems like that would be the logical.
Like, whales, she's like, I think she said she's like 50 something years old now, and whales mm-hmm. live to be about 80, so like, she still has some time left.
I would say so. Pretty good amount.
Okay, yeah, well, I'm steamed as hell about that.
Hashtag Free Lolita.
Yeah, it is on. There is a hashtag for it.
Figured.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, let's move on. What else do we got in the old cauldron, in the beaker, if you will?
Let's see. I have a lot of animal news. I guess that's just what I've picked yeah. when I'm looking through stuff. You wanna space news? Health news, evolution news.
Let's go evolution. Sounds good.
Okay. So this is funny because you know how people are like to think that humans are like so special and like different from animals. And then like just time after time, we're like, nah, we're actually like 99% chimp. Like we're not that different.
Yeah.
Well, here's another blow to the human, ego. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Quote, uniquely human muscles have been discovered in apes. So it looks like they're not uniquely human. So so I'll just read this paragraph because it's a good like summary. Muscles believed to be unique to humans have been discovered in several ape species, challenging the long-held anthropocentric theories on the origin of evolution of human soft tissues. This questions the view that certain muscles evolved to provide special adaptations for human traits such as walking on two legs, tool use, and sophisticated vocal communication and facial expressions. The findings highlight that thorough knowledge of ape anatomy is necessary for a better understanding of human evolution. So, I mean, the 101, you got it. Like, there's, like, a couple muscles in the face, in the jaw, in the legs. There were a few muscles that were like, oh, yeah, we're the only ones who have that. So that must be why we were walking on two legs, and that must be why we can talk. Like, these are, like, the special human muscles that no one else has. And then, like, the thing is, like, nobody questioned that for a long time. They're just like, oh, yeah, probably. But this person was like, well, let me see. And it was tough to get their hands on some monkeys, but they got a bonobo and they got a chimp, I think. And they a bunch of them, not just one, a couple of them, and they dissected them and looked for these muscles that they claimed were only in humans, and they're like, oh, there it is, oh, there's the other one.
I guess that's right where we thought it would be.
Yeah. So like, yeah, we keep wanting to like find like biological evidence for why we're so cool, like why we're like just justifying like our place, but we still keep running into these things. They're like, no, actually animals have that too. Like tool use for a long time was something that we said was only for humans, and then we found like a million animals that use tools.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well,
that's pretty much that. Not much. I mean, yeah. Oh, you want to here's another good thing. This is another sort of like anthropology.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you has little currency worldwide. You know how Nana, our grandma, we call our grandma Nana for those listeners at home. Nana was like so hardcore about you having manners, like saying thank you, like please, you know, manners were so important to her. So these people found out that the word thank you is not really used that much around the world. Like,
really?
Yeah, like the idea of like saying thank you for doing little things, like handing, for instance, the example is like, can I borrow a cigarette? All right, that's it. Silence. Can I have a cigarette? He just takes it. No, thank you. That's kind of, that's kind of the norm worldwide. So the researchers put cameras and microphones in people's homes and public spaces on 5 continents, allowing the research to record conversations in 8 languages. And they recorded almost 1,000 examples of people asking for a favor. And they said, and only 5.5% of those cases did the recipient express appreciation with either words or a gesture. And yeah, that's pretty much it.
I guess it's that's just super like American or like United States.
Yeah, Western or something. They said the results indicate that the results indicate that explicit gratitude is not a universal social currency. Instead, people help each other on the assumption that others will help them. So it's like, I don't need to say thank you. We're just going to, I'll do something nice for you later. Like, we don't need the word. Do you feel like the word thank you is sometimes all you need?
Yeah.
Like, if somebody does something for you, thank you, and that's it. You don't owe them anything. The thank you was the exchange.
Yeah, depending on what it is, but I mean.
It is kind of interesting, right?
I will say that I feel like we in our pod say thank you like probably like 20 to 30% more than most people I know, most people I encounter. I feel like I say it maybe over the top. I feel like I say it maybe too many times. Like, I'm thinking about the amount of times I say thank you at like Subway.
Yeah. It's probably
a little overkill.
But I think, you know, that's why I brought up Nana, because I feel like Nana really drilled it into us that like, if you've
got, yeah,
if nothing else, you just have to be use manners.
Yeah. I mean, that was pretty ingrained into me, but I also like agree with it.
Yeah, me too. Like, I feel like being nice and like saying thank you. Like, I feel like, especially like you were talking about Subway, like people in the food service industry, people in any doing anything.
Especially,
for
me, yeah, when they're doing something right.
I feel you, so like horrible that they're like working at that job and like doing this for me. Like, I don't.
You're like, give me those gloves. Like, I can put the turkey on there. You take a break.
And I wonder, I just wonder, like they said that people help each other on the assumption that others will help them. Like, do you think that this is more common in places where people know each other more? And so,
that's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Where like public, it's
like, I don't, not as private. I don't say thank you to you and like people in our family as much. Like, I do. We do just do things for each other because we do expect things to be done in exchange later. Like, we assume. I think that's my assumption when I read this.
That they just assume that, like,
well,
you're just doing the right thing. So there's no sense in like glorifying it.
Yeah, and like I was saying, like, it's almost like the favor. We exchange the favor, like making the sandwich, and then what you get in exchange, what we give for the sandwich is a thank you. Like, you give me the sandwich, I give you the thank you. But I feel like, yeah, I think like people you know better, whenever they do you a favor, it's like, well, I'll probably do a favor for you later.
Yeah.
Whereas
I mean, I will say,
might be too formal.
You might say like, yeah, like I'll get you back, but like, I'll.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's interesting, but I guess I'm kind of surprised, but
yeah,
I don't know. I'm trying to think of like,
it seems so natural. Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, you said it's maybe like Western, but like for me, I'm like trying to relate it to like when I like lived with a host family in Spain, they definitely like commented on like how like polite I was. And like, I feel like they kind of were like, they did like I would always like because I got my like all my meals made for me, like my host mom was just like, that's my job, like that's what I do. And I feel like there were some times when I feel like she was like, it's a little overkill that you're being so like thankful. And like I would like I couldn't even take my fucking plate to the kitchen. Like, she was like, no, I'll do that. I was like, oh, yeah. So yeah,
don't know. It's a little different outlook on it, but yeah.
Do you feel bad when anybody does anything for you, pretty much?
Just depends what it is, but I do have, like, that, like okay, well, I guess I'm like, yeah, well, I'm going to have, I feel like I store it away, and I'm like, well, I'm going to remember that, so I'm going to have to do something to, like, depending on what it is, but it depends what it is and who it is, obviously.
Yeah, I do feel bad about anybody doing anything for me, pretty much.
I wouldn't say I feel bad, but I don't know.
Maybe it's because I do feel like then I owe them. I don't like to owe anybody.
Yeah, I think that I would agree with that.
And maybe that's why we say thank you so much, is because like that's the thank you ends it.
So you don't owe anybody. So maybe say it twice and you're like, all right, I just want to make sure like I don't owe you shit now.
I gave you two thank yous. You want to
say that's now? Good. That's what? Give me a fucking no. Give me a dollar. I don't know.
Okay, I have some neuroscience news. It's already been well known that I don't know if you've heard this, like I've heard this before, but it's just kind of another thing that confirms it, that walking makes you grow brain cells.
What?
Have you heard of that? And walking, no. Exercising. Yeah, there's like a bunch of things, like some things make them go away. Like I don't know if this is still true, but neuroscience is like always coming out with like, oh, chocolate makes you this, and like, you know,
ew, chocolate makes you your dick grow 3 inches.
But I don't know, this seems pretty reputable. Like the headline is leg exercise is critical to brain and nervous system health, and it's almost like it's not just like walking makes you grow new brain cells, it's that if you stop walking then your brain dies. Like it's almost like if you're not walking, then you're not
stimulating the brain cells that need to keep functioning.
Yeah, they said that people who have diseases where multiple sclerosis, muscular atrophy, and neurological diseases often rapidly decline when their movement becomes limited. And so they found that there's this huge link between moving your legs and brain health. And yeah, so it's like I don't really want to get into it, but yeah, I've heard this before, and I recently read something or heard something that somebody went to go visit a college campus where there were a bunch of neuroscientists, and they said everybody was walking around, and another neuroscientist said that's because we all know that walking makes you grow more brain cells.
Huh. I mean, I do feel like sometimes to think about things, and it does help me like
think,
because it's not mindless, but like to me it's kind of mindless, so I can, you're not really focusing on walking, you just fucking do it. But like I often when I'm thinking about like songs or structure or like whatever, like melody and stuff like that, it helps me to walk around. Mm-hmm. But
yeah, me too, for sure. To yeah. And I wonder if that's like because we're growing brain cells or if that's something else. But yeah, I do think that. I feel that way too. Yeah, but that's pretty much it. I'll read like a little bit. It just says, new research shows that using legs, particularly in weight-bearing exercise, sends signals to the brain that are vital for the production of healthy neural cells. The groundbreaking study fundamentally alters brain and nervous system medicine, giving doctors new clues as to why patients with motor neuron disease, multiple sclerosis, spinal muscular atrophy, and other neurological diseases often rapidly decline when their movement becomes limited.
But it's like weight, so like, do you need to be doing squats?
No, I think it's anything too. Yeah, anything? Squats seem. I think that's what I read it yesterday. And it was like, yeah, it's like not only walking, but yeah, it sounds like squats, leg day.
Yeah,
damn. Leg day is good for your brain.
Everyone hates leg day. They're like, they gotta stress their legs and their brain apparently. But I guess some people love leg day. I don't know. I just went for a run, but
I love walking. So this like I found also like another thing I'm doing when I'm going through all these like articles, I'm just finding like science that like confirms that my life I'm living is like a good one.
That's like
I'm doing all the right things.
Selective
confirmation bias.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm just going through and being like, see, I'm living the perfect life. Science says so.
Yeah, like, it's proven scientific method.
So let's see. Oh yeah, space news.
Yeah.
Guess what? You remember Planet Nibiru?
Yeah.
From when we were having our conspiracy theory episode. Guess what? It might be real.
Fuck. I knew it.
The headline. Planet 9 from outer space. Is there another world beyond Neptune? A newly discovered asteroid's unusual orbit supports the idea that a massive planet lurks in the far reaches of the solar system. An enormous planet containing 10 times the mass of the Earth could explain the unusual orbit of a newly discovered asteroid. So, yeah, it's like they found this asteroid that's like, it's doing some weird stuff. It's like raised higher. I couldn't really understand what they were saying about, like, I read it a bunch of times, like how it's wonky. What exactly it's doing differently. They said it's like raised a few degrees. I don't really understand, but they're like, it's wonky as hell.
Yeah, I don't know what the fuck that means.
It was wonky as hell. The orbit
yeah, is raised up.
Yeah, that's I don't know. Look, it doesn't really matter, but yeah, just picture a wonky orbit. And then so they looked at it and they were like running models in there. They're running like physics models and they're like, why could this be happening? And the only way they could make it in their models look like it does in real life is if they added a big, huge planet way out there. So they're like, okay, so that was the only thing that would make this orbit make sense is if there's this planet way out there. So they haven't seen it, but they've seen this comet acting weird. And they're like, the only reason this is could be acting weird is if there's a planet out there. So I don't know how they're going to find it. They're looking for more asteroids that are acting wonky that could like just be more evidence toward this, but pretty weird.
That is weird.
It's not the thing that's different about
people. I have to say, I kind of knew when I saw that video that everything that I've been told was a lie.
The thing about it is the people who believe in Planet X or Nibiru think that it's on this weird elliptical orbit where it like shoots out way, way out into the solar system and then comes back in close to the sun, then goes way, way out again. But I don't think that they're saying that this planet would be like that. I think it has just a regular orbit, but way out there.
Yeah.
So it's not like the conspiracy theory planet as described by people. And also those people who believe in that thought it was like coming near Earth really soon. So like it's way out there. They said it could be so far away. And they said that other planets like this exist in the solar system. They didn't think, or in the universe. They see them in other solar systems, but they didn't know we had one. They're like, oh, wow, we might have one.
Damn. That's cool, though.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting. I don't know. Space is fucking crazy.
I actually don't love space. It's kind of boring to me a little bit.
I don't know. I feel like I just am so...
There's this other news that I didn't... I try to understand it, but I feel like I'd really need to like know how to crunch numbers and do physics to really love it.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe just to understand it, and then you can get like really like jacked up on it.
Because like when I hear people talk about black holes and stuff, I'm like, I can picture that, but I feel like you don't really understand it in a real like deep way until you've crunched the numbers.
Yeah. And sorry, guys, we will not be crunching too many numbers here, unfortunately. But we'd love to have really a number cruncher on the show. I'm not bad. I kind of hit a point where I was like, I got to Calc 2 in college, and I barely passed. And I was like, what? I had literally no fucking clue what was going on. Luckily, I had like a nice teacher. She knew I was trying. I was just fucking putting random shit down, trying to get partial credit. She knew I had no fucking clue.
I didn't even get to algebra 2.
Damn. Yeah, I thought algebra was really easy, but then when I hit calc, I was like, okay, this is, you know, we're fucking putting weird like graphs and like fucking parabolas, and then like fucking, I don't know, like all these weird symbols that I just never thought I would use on the calculator. I think everyone at that point was just cheating. Like they would just, you know, they had like all this shit programmed into their calculator, which I did too, but I just wasn't good enough at it.
Yeah. I want to like math, but it just looks so boring.
Yeah. I still have like my TI-84+. I don't know why. If anyone wants to buy that, like just let me know. I'll give it to you for like $30.
Wow. That's a good deal, guys.
I fucking bought it for like, I think it was like 80 back in like 2009.
Oh, I got some really good news. It's a kind of a short study, but it's very relevant to our other passion, which is social media. Mm-hmm. This study is called Why We Fail to Understand Our Smartphone Use. Checking your phone dozens of times daily indicates an unconscious behavior which is extremely repetitive, say psychologists. So there's like, you know how like, I'm addicted to my phone. That's something everybody says. There's actually very little research into whether your phone is addictive. So they're finally starting to do that.
I think it's pretty fucking clear.
Yeah.
I mean, no research needed. Like, I think everyone would probably agree that. I don't know. How is it not?
So, I mean, yeah. I don't know. They just said it's repetitive. They don't know if it's addictive yet. But what this one study was just like, they just put an app on people's phones that like registered how, like when they opened it, how long they were using it, et cetera. And they found out, from this data, they were able to calculate the number of total hours usage and the number of checks for each day, with the check defined as any usage lasting less than 15 seconds. So yeah, check versus using. Okay. So they said they found that. Three bullet points. Smartphone usage is repetitive and consistent for each person. Bullet point two, future phone checking frequency can be predicted with very little data. Bullet point three, a standard survey was unable to predict these behaviors. So people, I guess what their point is, like, they asked people how often they pick their phone. No, they said they asked people how often they check their phone, and they were so wrong. Like, and so their idea behind that is like, it's so
unconscious. You don't even realize it.
It's such a part of, it's below your conscious that you don't know it. You're bad. You're bad.
Can I download an app to figure that out? Because I'd love to know that, actually.
I think it probably is.
I'm sure there, I've
heard of them.
I think I would be disgusted with the amount of times
I No, I've heard of apps just like this.
Yeah.
So they would be pretty. They said, for example, researchers found that if you check your phone 80 times, it's 80 times today, you are likely to repeat this behavior every day.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you're just like extremely, you know how like people love their routines?
Yeah.
Like creatures of habit. That's what we are. Wendy Chan knew it.
I know I am.
Habitual new media. That's her whole thing, is like this media, the new media, which is social networks through phones. It's like it acts on people below their consciousness at habitual levels. So it's weird, right?
Yeah.
The thing that really made me mad and always still keeps making me mad, and I wonder how we're going to fix this, is like, I was on my phone for so long last night looking at all these science articles, and I liked it. I was having a good time. And then I wanted to stop using my phone. I wanted to stop looking at my phone for the day. So I went to go play guitar. My guitar was out of tune. Guess how I tuned it? My fucking phone. I had to pick up my phone again. And then you do that thing where you need to look at your phone for something, and you open it, and then you go to Instagram, and you go to something else, and then you like close your phone down, and you're like, oh shit, I was going in my phone for some other reason.
Yeah.
It's just like annoying that like opening your phone is the gateway to so many different things that, you just get looped into so many different actions that happen beyond your, like, below your consciousness.
Yeah, it is crazy because, like, my the software that I use to, like, track my hours for work, if I'm, like, idle for 10 minutes, it'll tell me. And, like, I couldn't fucking tell you how many times I've just been, like, zonked out, and I go back to my computer, and it's been, like, you know, 10 minutes or more, and I'm like, what? Damn, I'm like, fuck.
Yeah. It's such a part. And we were talking about last week about how like tools become extension of your body. Phones are such an extension of our body because like we use them without thinking about it. It's just like scratching your head or picking your nose or,
I mean, I think if we took a poll of fucking, I don't even know, fuck, say 100 people, I would say the amount of people that would say that their phone is with them for every fucking like 24 hours a day, I would think it would be like 95% or 95 people, you know, like 95% of any poll, like people always have their phone like on them or near them. I mean, I don't fucking, I'm 100.
Like,
I'm,
yeah, to me, like, it's like, are we addicted to our phones or do we just use them a lot? Like, are they just extremely useful?
Yeah, they are. And I mean, that's like how you can communicate at all times with anyone. So yeah, I mean, like I'm usually texting, you know, like maybe at least one person, or I mean, we are always, we have like group chats and shit.
You know,
so, and like, I mean, I think originally I would always carry my phone around and like just to know what time it was. Like, I never used to wear, I did actually wear a watch, like maybe right when I first got my phone. But then, like, I'm not like a watch guy. And I was like, I don't fucking need a watch. Like, I have a phone.
Yeah.
So
it feels weird even to go to like to the bathroom without your phone. You're like, oh no.
Yeah, I know. There. Yeah. It's like, fuck, what am I going to do when I'm sitting in here for 5 minutes?
I saw this this BuzzFeed reporter. She was like, I haven't pooped without my phone in 10 years.
Yeah, I mean, I do every once in a while, but like, I'm always like, fuck, what do I do? Look at the wall.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so boring. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, the thing that
was that a Slack message?
Yeah, I just got it. I'm on the damn clock. Not really, though, actually. I'm actually done with work for today, but...
Are you still there?
I'm still there, yeah. I just called you as soon as I finished. But the thing that I always think that could be a solution to this, like I was saying before, like, I wish that my phone wasn't the gateway to every single app. Like, I wish I had a bunch of different, like, little... like different sculptures or different types of phones or different, like as if like my guitar tuner was like a little disc and then like Instagram was like a little,
I mean,
like,
you can get a Snark.
What?
I mean, if you just have like an actual guitar tuner.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Snark.
No, I guess I'm just saying all the things that are apps, like I wish they were like broken out into different objects so that like, you know, I could put Instagram in like a closet so that when I want to go use it, I have to go over to the closet, open it and take it out so that like my phone, so that I'm not unconsciously doing it, you know, so that there's a few steps between me and the thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I always think about how like, Magic Leap, you know, I talk about that a lot, how like I feel like that's going to really change whenever augmented reality is out and like you can make any object in your environment. Like I'm looking at a water ball right now, like I could be looking at this through a computer and like the whole interface of an app can be on the water bottle, like projected onto it. So that does make me excited for like when all the things that are in our phone can be like shattered out and like paste it all over our environment and all the objects in our environment turn into different apps, you know?
Yeah. It's weird that it's with a water bottle.
Yeah.
Because I was actually a water bottle, but I think I just always have my water bottle with me. So
yeah,
that's kind of another thing. And I guess I will say, I mean, I'm always like, what the fuck? I forgot my water bottle. It sucks.
Yeah, I don't really know. I mean, I just want more tests into that. I'm excited that, I mean, I can't believe that's the first test. Like, that's the first time, 2018, first time somebody checked something like this in a scientific way.
Yeah, I don't know. All the bullshit that's been happening, people are like, I don't know. I don't fucking know. I'm just spouting bullshit over here, guys.
So let's see. There's, let me just do a few rapid fire things. I'm pretty much done. I mean, there's a study where this person, you know how like dinosaur news, pterodactyls didn't actually fly splay-legged like bats. You know how we always show pterodactyls flying?
Mm-hmm.
Just pretty much like bats. This lady was like, yeah, I don't know about that. And so they were like, when we look at dinosaur skeletons, all of their tendons they're not preserved in the fossil record because they're too soft, right? Like they immediately disintegrate. So when we're looking at bones, we imagine how they might bend. And usually, mm-hmm. and I guess like we've been really, really like wrong because this lady, she was like, all right, let's take some skeletons of some current animals that are pretty similar, which are like chickens and quails. And she took those chicken bodies and like scanned them in a 3D thing. She like cut them. Hold on. Let me find. Let me find the thing that she actually said. For the study, she used dead quails, birds are the closest living relative of extinct pterosaurs and four-winged dinosaurs. And after carefully cutting away the muscles surrounding the bird's hip joints, she manipulated the joints while taking x-ray videos. That way she could determine the exact 3D positions of the bones and poses where the ligaments prevented further movement. And then they compared that to like what current scientists say, like how they moved. And she was like, nah, none of these movements are possible. So like now, like, you know how we already thought like, oh, we were already so wrong about the feathers thing. Like Jurassic Park needs to be updated and add feathers to it. Not only that, but they probably didn't move like they did because that was another assumption we made about how they moved. Cause we didn't take into account.
When the hell are we going to know what dinosaurs actually like looked like? I mean, like,
yeah, I know it's weird.
I mean, right? I'm kind of psyched for like the fucking like the Jurassic Park. Like, they're just, that's just gonna be Jurassic Park with like an asterisk next to it. Like, sorry guys,
like, none of this is real.
They get all the same cast back together like one more time.
Yeah, so that's pretty much that. Just like,
whoa, yeah. What else we got? Any more rapid fire?
Florida coral reefs plagued with mysterious disease. There's a disease, they don't know what it is in the reefs. Just killing a lot of stuff. It sucks. Vitamin B12 breakthrough, more complete vegetarian diet. They found a way to put B12 into plants so that vegetarians can get that B12. I guess that's the thing that they lack a lot.
Because they're not getting it in like, yeah, what? In meat. Like fucking like
in meat.
Don't they get that in like fish oil too? I guess they're vegetarian.
Yeah, that's vegan. Vegans wouldn't eat fish oil. Mm. Yeah, I don't think vegetarians eat fish oil either. There was a really funny thing that was going around last week. I just missed it when we did it. It was octopuses are not aliens. But there's a study. There's like a bunch of scientists were like, we think octopuses might be aliens, man. Like, you know how you know the idea of panspermia?
No.
It's just the idea that life started on Earth by there was some bacteria on a comet or something that hit the Earth, and then that bacteria like sort of just changed over time and became what we are. And that's still like people still think that about how life may have started at the very beginning. But there's like every few years or every decade or so, a bunch of scientists are like, whoa, we think octopuses might be that. Like, they're so much different from the rest of the animals. Like, they must have come here on a comet. And like, there are, and every other scientist other than these ones are like, you're fucking stupid. Please stop saying that. Please stop saying that every time. Yeah. And yes, that's pretty much it.
They're just like, you're just spreading conspiracy. Yeah,
like, I know it's fun to think about, but it's not. I mean,
octopus do look like your typical, like, stereotypical alien, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like the head shape and like the eyes, kind of like that one show, that like
Mars Seth Attacks
McFarlane show.
Yeah, you know, American Dad alien, Roger.
Yeah. Kind of, he kind of looks like a octopus.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, like, it's so weird. That.
I didn't read the report from the original scientist, but every other scientist was like, you're fucking dumb. Why would you, yeah. like, it's, it makes you think, like, wow, scientists, I could be a scientist. If, like, they're about, if they're going to say things that dumb,
yeah,
they really are just regular people.
Oh, these are other, like scientists that were saying this?
Yeah. Oh. Like, people that you would, they would legit call themselves scientists. They weren't, these weren't just randos.
Yeah. I feel like I need to, we need to get a scientist on the show.
Yeah, I'd like to interview one. I mean, there's lots of, like, any of these stories I'd love to interview, like, the Lolita person, the whale, the person who wrote that.
Anybody, about the anybody whale. With, like, a, anybody with, like, a, you know, like, a degree.
I think.
Or maybe not even a degree. Maybe, I don't know. Just, I don't know. Prove that you're somewhat.
I wish we had more listeners so that I felt comfortable asking a scientist to come on the show. Like, if I could tell them we would have more than 10 listeners, I'd do it. Like, if we had 200 listeners, I'd be comfortable with it. But we have, you know, maybe 20 max on a good episode.
Yeah. Well, we're, I think that's it. This is only the second episode, so we're getting there, guys.
Yeah, that's pretty much, I have a few other stories, but they're not that interesting. Quantum effects observed in photosynthesis. That's pretty cool that, like, plants have these biological parts that use quantum mechanics to do photosynthesis. I don't really understand it, but that they're like,
yeah, that doesn't really mean anything to me, but
this
cool.
is the this is the first time quantum mechanical behavior was proven to exist in biological systems that are involved in photosynthesis. I'd heard that before, that they thought that was likely, but this is like proof they finally found it. Pretty interesting.
Shit. I was pretty sure that was just not a thing. I was,
Well, that's okay, pretty guys. Much it for Science Friday. What was your favorite story?
I think the second one. I'm trying to think. What was the one after that? No, we talked about, like, five things. I'm having trouble remembering what we talked about.
Planet Nine from Outer Space?
Yeah, that's a pretty cool one. Planet Nine, I mean, I don't know. I'm kind of with you on the... I'm pretty, like, I like animal stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, actually, you know what? My favorite was the chimpanzees.
Oh, that were humans aren't special?
Yeah, I just like picturing, like, a few, like, scientists and be like, oh...
There it is.
Wow,
yeah.
Okay. So this is like, there's a guy in there that like was like certain that it was not true. He's like, oh, okay. Like
these muscles are just for you. Like nobody else has. Oh, but what is this right here?
I'm just picturing like handing like a bloody bone like to him. Like, well, that's it.
All right. That's...
like, let's pack it up, guys. Good work. Have a good weekend.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I do like that people... I do like that just humans keep getting dethroned. Like, we love to put ourselves up on a pedestal and then scientists keep being like, and no, because it, like, started with, like, you know, like, we thought that we were the center of the universe, that the sun revolved around us, and then they're like, oh, actually, we're just a planet revolving around the sun.
Yeah, this is kind of awkward. Is anyone else feeling kind of weird? Yeah, I mean, nobody likes to hear that they aren't irrelevant. Special.
Yeah.
You're just another fucking, you're just another piece of dust in the wind.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. My favorite story was the whale one, just because, like, I feel like it would be so nice if we let that whale go.
Yeah, I'd love to see that. Hopefully there's a live stream when that does happen, because I think that it will happen. If it doesn't, that's kind of crazy to me.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised either way. Thanks for sticking around, everyone. This has been Science Friday.
Thursday.
Science Thursday.
You don't even listen to Science Friday and you keep saying it.
I know. It just rolls off the tongue. I don't know.
Guys, if you can, if I have a one request, get on Twitter, tweet at the corporation that owns that stupid, what is it called? Sealand or something?
Aquarium.
Aquarium. Tweet at them and tell them, like,
free
Lolita.
Let's set this.
Fight to the end, but I'm only human.
That's right. And Lolita's only a whale. And what do whales need? Family, like humans. We all need something to lean on. We all need something to believe in. I don't know about you, but I believe it.
The whale's native name is Tokate.
Let's get Tokate into the wild. Back out to its home in the ocean.
Hold me, yeah. Yeah. I used to sing this song. This is like one of the first songs I liked. Like, you know, what was the first song that you were like, oh, I like music?
I don't know. I couldn't. I that's a really, really tough question.
I feel like I remember it, and I think it was Sugar Ray Fly.
It's funny because
like
that's
a Smash Mouth song.
That was gonna be mine, but I didn't want to say it.
Really? I think I remember you liking that song, and I was like,
"Yeah,
oh,
that
wow.
was my first. That was the first album I ever had."
Yeah.
Also,
I used to. Yeah, like this is the first song I liked. And this is the first thing I wanted to be. I wanted to be a whale trainer. It was the first thing I learned how to really draw well. As a killer whale.
Yeah.
I used to draw whales all the time.
Yeah, well, I do remember you drawing whales. You had a magnet, that one magnet you drew.
Mm-hmm.
Right, well. All
right. Thanks for listening, guys.
I think Michael would want to set Lolita free if he was here.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, for sure.
The Earth's going away. We're fucking destroying the planet. We're not going to be here in 100 years. Like, it's going to be wrecked. Like, the way I see it, we're basically on the Titanic after it already hit the iceberg and we're sinking right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the best thing we can do is just do some, like, we're gone, we're done. The best thing we can do is just like those guys at the boat. You remember the string quartet that was just like playing as the boat was sinking?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's all we have to do now. Like, the boat's sinking. Let's just do some beautiful stuff. And one of the most beautiful things we could do is set this whale free.
Yeah. I think everyone would agree with that, too. Except, like, one or two people that are at this fucking facility.
At least let a vet come in there and see if they can do it.
Yeah.
And I doubt the vet's going to say we can't let it into a netted safe area in the ocean. Like, it'll be fine.
No, you don't need to be a vet to say that. I'll say it right now. You can.
Let's listen to the slow part. Hashtag free Lolita. Hashtag free Tokita.
Hashtag science Thursday.
All right. Thanks for listening, guys. You're always in my heart. All right. See you next week.
See you next week.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.